Well, I'm glad that you're here this morning. We're changing. We finished up our Great Commission Worship One, and the Christmas, through the Christmas season, we're going to do Unwrapping the Gift of Christmas. Now, let's just be honest with me. How many of you snuck open at least one Christmas present when you were growing up? Is there anybody who did not? There are some. I'm impressed. Wow. And then we'll have a confession for the liar. No, I'm just kidding. And some people, now I get it, listen, some people like to be surprised. I know they do, and they don't want to know what's in their gift. They like that surprise stuff. The only reason that I broke into my presents, and I'll tell you the story behind it. So we opened presents on Christmas morning, but I was always allowed to open one gift on Christmas Eve. It was just kind of the tradition. I could pick whatever gift it was. The problem was I went 4 years running on picking the socks. Now, after you have picked on Christmas Eve the present that is the socks for 4 years straight, I didn't care about what the other boxes, what were in them. I just wanted to know where the socks were so that I wouldn't pick that one. You know what I mean? That was my only purpose behind unwrapping the gift early and trying to find out what it was. Because I didn't bother me what it was, what other gift. I just did not want to get the socks. But isn't it amazing how exciting it is to open a gift, to get a gift, that maybe a gift that you weren't expecting, and to open a gift? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? There's just an excitement there. And what bugs you most is that person who thinks the wrapping paper is more important than what the gift is. I'm catching some nerves there as well, right? There's those people that they say, oh, it's such a beautiful paper. Let's save the paper. And they take forever to slowly unwrap the gift. And what does it do? It drives you nuts, doesn't it? You're like, just rip it open. It's just paper. I mean, it was $2.35 for a roll of it. I've got more. Mom, if you want some more, I got some more. It seems like the moms are always the one that say, oh, we can save this. And we can roll it up, and we can fold it and keep it all nice. You guys understand what I'm saying, right? Because we all have that thing in common. When we get a gift, man, we would be like those little kids who are just trying to figure out how to rip it open and get the paper off and find out, because you want to find out what's in it. Now, I know that everybody here probably has opened a gift and thought it was something, and it wasn't that. You've ever been disappointed with a gift? You have? Yes, I asked for a four-wheel drive pickup truck for my birthday and for Christmas, my 16th birthday. And since they're close, they all get pushed together a lot of times anyways. I was asking for a four-wheel drive pickup truck. You know what I got when I opened the box, which I was expecting keys? I got a Stomper 4x4 pickup. You guys remember what Stomper 4x4 picks up are? You put a little battery in it, you turn it on, and it four-wheel climbed all over the place. It was nice. It was even blue, like I asked. I wanted a blue pickup. But it wasn't the pickup I wanted. Now, the reason why I'm talking about these gifts and Christmas stuff like this is because we're going to talk about unwrapping the gift of Christmas, and we're just going to talk about the beginning part of it. Obviously, Christmas Eve, we're going to talk about the ultimate gift, which is Jesus Christ himself. And then we'll talk about some of the gifts that come later through Christmas that we receive for the Sunday afterwards, which is New Year's Day as well. So, God gave us a gift, and it was an incredible gift, and here's what's really cool about it. But a lot of people don't get it. I mean, a lot of people want to know what their gift is. In fact, you know, I know some people that just, you're better off just having them go buy their gift and you wrap it later so that they have a gift underneath the tree. That way they're always happy when they open it. But the girls are like, yeah, that's what we need. But God gave us a gift, and the thing was God wasn't quiet about it. He told us the gift that was coming. He told us about the gift that was coming. The gift was going to be a Savior, a Messiah. Now, people started trying to figure out who the Messiah was and trying to figure out these things. And Isaiah told about it. There's prophecies all kinds about it. There was prophecies about he was going to be born in Bethlehem. That's how the wise men came and they asked, where is he supposed to be born? And these guys had been... They've been used to it, and they had looked for it, and I'm sure they've heard many sermons and many lectures on the fact that God was going to send a Messiah. He's going to send a Savior of the world, and in the Jewish mind, it was to rule on this earth and not be under any kind of a foreign government in any way, shape, or form. And the thing was like Isaiah says, and you've heard this scripture before, Isaiah was talking about the gift that was going to be given. He says, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a child is given." He says, "And the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." You hear that verse and you just want to start singing it, don't you? Because it's the Hallelujah chorus that Handel took this passage and just made an incredible musical piece about the gift that God gave us. But the thing is this is Isaiah. This is 1,000 years or more before Jesus comes. Now, it's interesting. Have you guys ever had someone say they're going to give you a gift, and they're going to give you a gift, but then they never give it to you? And it goes for on and on. Oh, no, I'm going to get you that gift. I'm going to get you that. I'm going to get you that. I got that for you sometime. And you just never get it. Do you get to a point where you're like, yeah, whatever? It's kind of where Christians get, and sometimes where the Jews were at when the Messiah was coming. Because in their mind, they're like, okay, God keeps says he's going to send a gift. He's going to send a gift, but the gifts never come. When's the Messiah coming? And it's interesting. He let them know that it was coming. He told them all about it. But unfortunately, this is one of the weird things about it. The world had to be ready for the gift of Jesus Christ. And it's kind of sad that this was the case. The world needed to be in a place where it really, really needed a Savior. And it needed to be in a place where they weren't trusting in God and they weren't following God. And it happened quite a lot for Israel, but there was 400 years between the Old Testament and what we have the New Testament. So a lot of stuff went on. And in that 400 years, Malachi is the last one that really is hears from God and speaks for God. And then basically about 400 years, we don't hear anything until the angel appears to Zechariah, not for Jesus, but for John the Baptist. It's the story in Luke chapter 1. You can look it up there. When Zechariah is in the temple, it was his turn to do, and the angel appears. Angels had not appeared. God had not spoken for 400 years. You think you're tired of waiting for the gift? 400 years. And then it happens in the temple to one guy. And what happens, because of his unbelief, just complete shock that an angel is telling him that he's going to have a baby, him and his wife are going to have a baby, and whatever, he doesn't believe it. So God says, oh, okay, now you can't talk until the baby's born. So not only does he get to hear from God, but then he can't share it. He's not allowed to share it. He can't speak it out. He ends up writing it down and telling them what happened, that this is what happened, but he does not get to speak until the baby's born. Wow. But 6 months into that, after God talked to him, God came to a young lady named Mary. And you guys have heard it. It's in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and following. It was the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. So Zechariah and Elizabeth are pregnant. They're going to have a baby. And 6 months into that, God sends an angel. Now, this is an interesting thing, because a lot of times when God sends angels, they don't have a name. But this is an important message. And God sends an angel who we find out what his name is. And that's kind of important because it's an important message. It sends Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin who's been pledged to marry a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." She's shocked. Mary's greatly troubled. Of course, remember, anytime anybody sees an angel, they're usually pretty scared. I mean, everybody. Because most of the time, the first words out of the angel's mouth is, "Do not be afraid." The first words out of the mouth of Gabriel are, "Greetings, you're highly favored. God loves you. God's blessed you. God likes you. What's going on? And he's with you." She's a little worried, so he has to say the phrase, "Do not be afraid." You know, it's like, you know, angel school. What's the first word you're going to say? "Do not be afraid." But Gabriel says something else. But he says, yes. She says to him in verse 30, the angel says that, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you were to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end. And like most human beings, Mary gets stuck on the first part of what he says. She doesn't quite, hasn't taken in the fact that the Messiah is coming, the thing that everyone's looking for. She's kind of caught up on this, how am I going to be pregnant? Which I can get that. I understand that. And she says, well, how's this going to be since I'm a virgin? So Gabriel answers her, the Holy Spirit will come on you with power of the Most High, will overshadow you, and the Holy One will be born and will be called the Son of God. And he gives her a little hint. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said was unable to conceive was in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. It's a key phrase there as well. Here's her response. She says, I'm the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be fulfilled. And then the angel left. Gabriel left. Now, it's interesting because this is the precursor stuff. But can you imagine if you were Mary and this happens to you? An angel appears this way. See, the thing is she was given some gifts as well. The first gift that she has is a compliment on the way she lived her life, following God. The first gift she has is that she's favored by God. God appreciates the way she has been living her life. Now, that was her attitude, the way she dealt with people, how hard she worked, her devotion to God, and everything that she had, God saw it. No grace, no whatever, because it's still in the old times like this. God just saw how she lived her life. She lived her life in such a way that it got the attention of God, that God could use her to bring his son into the world. That's pretty amazing when you think about it. Do you live your life in such a way that God takes notice? I mean, here's the thing. Mary had sin. We all have sin. Mary had asked for forgiveness of her sin. So can we. And after we've been forgiven of our sin, do we live our life in such a way that it takes notice from God in a good way? That God notices you in a good way? Because a lot of times when you see in the Bible where God notices things about people, it's about their sin. And it becomes a stink in his nostrils because Israel has sinned so much or because of the way people live. It's kind of a rare thing for God to take notice of someone's faith. Jesus took note of people's faith. When they had incredible faith, he would talk about it. He'd let them know. He was surprised by it. Do you live your life in a way that God takes note of how you live? How generous you are, how encouraging you are. How you Barnabas was given the name of encourager. Why? Because he encouraged people so much. I mean, if you were feeling down, go see Barnabas. He'd make you feel better. What if there's nothing he could do about it? It didn't matter if he could do anything about it. He still made you feel better. He lived his life in such a way to be an encourager. Do you live your life in such a way that God takes note and says, I can use that person? Was she free from sin? No. She was a human being like the rest of us. But she was willing to be used by God, and her life was in such a way that God said, you're favored by God. Here's the next thing, a gift that was given to her. And guys, I get it. It wouldn't be a gift you would want. But ladies, you're going to have a baby. Now you think, not just, whoa, whatever kind of thing. But think about how exciting it is when you find out for the first time that you're pregnant. It's an exciting time, isn't it? It's just exciting. And so here's the gift that he's giving. You're going to be pregnant. And she's thinking, okay, sure, Joseph, what? No, it's going to happen before that. And you guys know what I'm talking about. There's just an excitement. When you find out someone's pregnant, what do you say? Congratulations. Oh, it's awesome. You have so much fun. When you're a grandparent and you get to tell your grandparent that you're going to have a grandbaby, it's exciting news, right? You're excited. I know because you guys tell me. And you're so excited about what's happening. And so this is kind of an interesting way, but she's told by an angel she's going to have a baby. Wow. That's incredible. Hey, I remember when we were pregnant with Taryn, and yet how do you tell your parents? How do you tell, people in some such way that you can have some fun? Well, since I was the current minister working in different places. I was a youth minister. I was currently working as youth minister. It seems like I always get volunteered to pray at meals. You guys know what I'm talking about? I just always am the one that gets asked to pray at meals. If you're a Christian, sometimes that's the case in your family if no one else is a Christian. I had a father-in-law who's a preacher, but it always came to, Todd, would you pray for us? Okay, so we did this out of honoriness. We did not tell them about the fact that my wife was pregnant until Thanksgiving meal prayer. So we're all bowed and we're praying, and I thank God for the meal and how Thanksgiving, and I thank God for the special gift that Tara and I are going to have with having a baby. What? You know what I mean? Like, it was fun. You know what I mean? I mean, it wasn't exciting as an angel appearing, but it's a celebratory time, isn't it? God blesses us with new life, a baby. Everybody's excited about the new baby. Whether it's family or whether it's friends, you're excited when somebody has a baby, a healthy baby, and it's pretty. People are excited when they bring the baby to church for the first time and they get to see him. I remember when we took Taryn for the first time to church, they tried to work with her, whatever, but there were so many people in our church, whatever, that they just came and took the baby from Tara. She's like, what do I do? Everyone's passing him around. He's not supposed to be telling you like this. But people get so excited about a baby. Mary is going to have a baby, and she's pretty excited about it. Now, the baby she's going to have is really special. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, the power of God. And like I said, she doesn't quite register it right away, because first she asks, well, how's this going to happen? I'm a virgin. She kind of missed the fact that, oh, he's going to be the Son of God. You're going to call him Jesus. He's going to take the throne of his father David and reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end. I mean, those words she has heard before in the synagogue and different things. She'd heard those before, but it wasn't clicking yet until probably the second time when he says he will be called the Son of God. You're going to give birth to the Messiah. Wow, what a gift. That's incredible. Can you imagine what that was like? Now, the last gift that I see that she gets, that not only is she favored by God, she's going to have a baby, but this is a cool thing. In those days, we have this gift now, but in those days, it was pretty incredible. The Holy Spirit was going to come upon her. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is going to be with her and come upon her, going to give her a child in that way. Now, the thing is, we think, oh, well, no big deal, because when we give our lives to Christ, and we're obedient, we get the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. It's with us. It's there to do all kinds of things. It encourages us. It gives us words when we don't know what to say, when we're sharing the gospel with people. It convicts us of our sins even. It's your conscience in some parts where it tells you and reminds you, hey, what you're doing is wrong. Maybe nobody else knows what you're doing, but you know. Well, how? How do you know what you're... Because the Holy Spirit's working your life going, man, I can't be in here with that. You need to take care of that. You need to take care of that issue in your life. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon her. See, this only happened for prophets in those days. Prophets. And occasionally a priest. Occasionally they have a thing like this, but that's when the Holy Spirit came upon them. And she says, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. It's going to be with her. And that's how she's going to conceive. It's through the power, through the incredible power of God's Spirit. Because God's Spirit is where the power is. God's the Father, the Son is the sacrifice, and His Spirit is the power. If you remember right in Genesis, before the earth was formed, it said His Spirit was there. And it was His Spirit that spoke everything into being. It's the power. It's incredible. It's the power of what's going to happen. The thing is, it's incredible. Because that power, when God's power is working inside of us and working inside of Mary and whatever, in verse 37 it says, no word from God will ever fail. How can this happen? Nothing is impossible with God. That's basically what it is. Nothing is impossible with the power of God working with us. And what's incredible is the power of God is working inside of us. And nothing is impossible in the will of God and doing what God wants done. It's incredible. But a lot of times we don't take hold of the gift that God's given us. Now think about this. An angel appears to Mary, says, man, you're living a good life. God has taken note of this. Here's the gift you're going to have. You're going to be pregnant. Mary could have said, oh, man, I don't want to have to deal with that. I mean, I know I'm going to be pregnant someday. I get that. I'm getting married. It's happening soon. I get that kind of thing. But I don't know that if I want to go through this whole, people talk. I mean, have you been to church? Have you been to our synagogue? People talk about things. And if I end up pregnant and they know that I'm not quite married yet to Joseph, man, what kind of problem is this going to be? Lord, I don't think I'm the right person for you. She didn't say that. Part of the reason why her heart was the way it was. But she didn't say that. She says, I'm your servant, God. I'm the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled. In other words, Lord, I am willing to do whatever you want me to do. And if it's to be pregnant with your son, then that's a big job to be the mother of Jesus. If you want me to be the mother of the Messiah, then okay. Your will be done. Whatever you want to do, Lord, you do. See, that's not our mindset a lot of times. It's not like, oh, Lord, how about you do what I have planned, and then that'll be good. This is the way I plan it out, and if you do it that way, I promise you, everything will be good. People won't talk. Everything will be fine. But instead, no, she says, your will be done. May your word be fulfilled. What the angel is saying, that's fine. Say it. Then the angel left. See, the thing is, she's favored by God. She's going to be having a baby. She has the Holy Spirit with her, and her response should be the same response that we have when God gives us a gift. She was given a few gifts, and her response was, okay, Lord. But see, the problem is with the Holy Spirit and other stuff, when we get that gift, people are not too sure if they want that gift. You guys know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had one of those gifts where you're not quite sure you want, like, socks every year? I really don't care if I get socks every year. Some people don't like the gifts that are given to them. You've seen people like that, right? Who they've been given a gift. I didn't want that. And that's not the color I want. How does that make the giver feel? Oh, terrible. Don't like that. I've seen that happen and people go off crying. They were trying to be as best as they could, as nice as they could, giving a gift. What about when God gives us this gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of salvation? He gives us the gift of salvation through his son. We'll talk about down the road. But what about when people reject that gift? When people reject the gift and don't want what God's given them. I don't understand why. And most of the time when you give a gift and the child or somebody doesn't want it, you don't understand why. Why don't you want that? Oh, it's not the right color, whatever. They're normally it's because of their own selfish desires is the reason why they don't want the gift that they're given, correct? What about our lives? God gives us the power of the Holy Spirit, who is at work, who is within us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It lives inside of us. Do we want that gift? Because that gift might push you out of your comfort zone. Do you think Mary was out of her comfort zone being pregnant out of wedlock? That gift might push you out of your comfort zone, might have you do things that you normally wouldn't do. This is a little bit different for Mary. She was doing everything she could to obey God and follow God and do exactly. And think about it, Joseph has no idea. He finds out she's pregnant and his heart is broken. Because the only way that happens means she cheated on him. And I mean, his heart is broken. But he loved her and he cared about her so much, he thought, I'll just put her aside quietly. No one will know, whatever. And God has to send an angel to talk to him too. Godly man, feared the Lord. Angel spoke to him, said, it's okay. Take her as your wife. Now, for Mary, being pregnant out of wedlock, it could be pushed aside. She could be hidden, whatever. But for Joseph to step up and take that responsibility, that was a huge thing as well. The gift that was given him wasn't quite, I mean, yes, he's going to be the father of the Messiah kind of thing, and he's going to have other children down the road, and he's got this gift of this beautiful bride that he has, but she's pregnant. But she's pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Messiah is going to become. You're going to be dad to the Messiah. Think about that one for a second. You want to talk about responsibility. I didn't really grasp all responsibility and everything else. I was married to my wife, whatever. But the moment I had a son, when Taryn was born, that was huge. That was powerful in me understanding the responsibility that I had. I'm not only responsible for my wife now, but I'm responsible for raising this child and raising this to be a young man. I mean, for me, that was overwhelming. God, what are you doing? But yet he gives us all the tools we need, the gifts we need, everything we have. It's unwrapping this gift that he's given us. And he's given us the gift of eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ. And it's a power and incredible thing because we don't quite understand it. We don't quite understand what God can do through us. We don't quite understand what God can do through prayer or what he can do through committed, holy people that are willing to serve him no matter what, who have the same response as her response. Lord, let your will be done. Okay, I'm on board. Here's the thing. We're unwrapping the gift of Christmas, and this is just the first little package we're opening. It's kind of the precursor to stuff, because the big stuff comes on Christmas, obviously, when we talk about the actual gift and what does Jesus and the Messiah mean to us. It's a pretty powerful thing. But the thing is where, you know, where we're at, what's going on. But what about the gifts that God has given you? What about the things that God has given you? I had the offering meditation only because my son was serving with a gift he has up in the children's section, because it was supposed to be Taryn doing it. And he does a wonderful job, and I love to hear him talk. But I'll fill in for him when I have the opportunity. So when I was talking about gift and handing out things, and you are able to have those things, God has given you some incredible gifts. Each and every one in here has a different skill and talent that God's given you. Have you unwrapped that gift? Have you opened it up? Are you excited about what it is? Do you even know what it is? Has God revealed to you the things that you are able to do through the power of his Holy Spirit in your life? Do you know what they are? Do you want to know? See, that's the thing. Maybe you don't want to know what's in the gift, because it might mean he's going to have you do something or whatever that you might be out of your comfort zone. But the thing is he's given all of us a gift. We just have to use it. Have you ever noticed it's always interesting that you give gifts and it seems like the most entertaining part about the gift is the box? Especially with little kids. They might have a cool toy and they'll play with the toy a little bit, but then they'll play with the box as much as anything. Or the wrapping paper. I remember when the boys used to have fun when we'd tear the paper off, kind of make snowballs. We'd have a big Christmas ball fight. Just throw the paper at each other. We do that all the time. We'll stick bows on people wherever they don't even know it, just for the fun of it. Some people are like, "Wow, I don't want to be involved in all that." Do you want to be involved in what God's given you as a gift? That Holy Spirit, the salvation through his son? Do you want that gift? The thing is as we wrap this up, I want our response to be the same response as Mary. Our response need to be, Lord, you know what you're doing, and whatever you want to do, I'm along on board. I'm on board for however it is. Because a lot of times I've found in my life, I just finished up my classes and my master's stuff, part of it was an audit of part of my ministry and where I minister, what my ideal ministry would be, all those different things. And I think I was the only senior pastor in that class, because everybody else was just coming out of there in youth ministry. They're just coming out of seminary or out of their undergraduate work or whatever, because nobody else that I found going through all those had the years of experience in ministry. And so I kind of got to examine my life in ministry. And it was interesting how sometimes God had worked in ways that I wasn't expecting. When I said, okay, Lord, I'm ready to follow. I'm ready to do what you want me to do. It wasn't what I thought it was when I took the position or when I took the call for those things. I knew church planting was going to be hard, but I didn't expect it to be as hard or the way it was. I expected senior ministry to be a certain way, but there was unexpected things in that gift of him doing that. It can be churches, it can be locations, it can be even going and calling on people. It used to be, whenever someone called me and says, man, I need to talk to you, I was thinking, great, what did I do wrong now? Because I mean, that's the way it was for so long. I'd get people that just showed up who were just complaining about stuff. But you know how nice and refreshing it was? I'm not worried about when people say, hey, I need to talk. It might be something I did, and if I did something wrong, I apologize. Because I do. I'll do something wrong. It happens. I'll apologize. I'll try to make it right. But a lot of times, they're just struggling, and they're trying to get through something themselves. It has nothing to do with me. And when I was willing to finally go, okay, Lord, whatever you want, your will, it's been an amazing ride. Like I said, it may not always be what you expect. When you listen to the call of the Holy Spirit in your life, it may not be what you expect. But it always ended up to be a blessing. Always ends up to be more than I expected. You think it was more than what Mary expected when she saw the angel? See, the thing is I bet you Mary, when she first got this note from the angel, when Gabriel came and said, hey, you're going to have a child, and he's going to be the Son of God, I don't think nowhere in that whole mindset of what she was looking at was, oh, he's going to be hung on a cross, and you're going to watch him be beaten, whipped, and die on a cross. Huh? Mary probably would have gone, oh, I don't sign up for that. No mother wants to see their son die. This never happens. They don't sign up for that when they're holding that little baby. That's not what they're thinking. But sometimes God has a different plan. We would not have salvation had Jesus not died on the cross. The thing was, even though things changed and it wasn't the plan that Mary had for Jesus, and even though it was tough, what did she do? Did she leave? She was there on the cross, and Jesus says to John, John, there's your mother, John. Take care of her. She was by his side and supporting him the whole way. Was this part of the bargain to begin with and the acceptance of what God was going to do? Did she expect that? Probably not. So you see how sometimes unwrapping the gift doesn't always have what you expect. But you know what? Guess who's the first one to see Mary when he was resurrected? Or see Jesus when he was resurrected? Mary. I spoiled it. Right? It happens. Who was the one that was going to take care of the body? She was doing her motherly thing. She's going to take care of my son. I'm going to go wrap him in clothes and do what he's supposed to be done. And who? She shows up first, and what? The tomb's empty. And they run back and whatever. And she comes across a person. She thinks it's the gardener. What have you done with his body? He says, Mary, Mom. And she realizes, he's risen from the dead. She wasn't planning on that part of the blessing either, was she? See, the thing is, it's really cool. Sometimes we have the hard parts of the gift that God gives us, the gifts that we have to deal with. There's hard parts, but it always ends up with a good part. Mary, at the end, and it's all done, she's the first one to see Jesus. And she's so excited, she's heading back, she's, blah, 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 blah. You know, I mean, you think about excited, this is one excited mom. Forget that cheering for your wrestling and football moms. You're not even close to what Mary was when her son was alive. It was incredible. She was so excited. She was so happy. She was so blessed. See, the thing is, folks, we have a gift. God's given us a gift. He gives it to us for Christmas, which is the time for us to think about gifts and giving and those things. God gave you a gift. Salvation, power of the Holy Spirit. Are you opening that gift? Are you using that gift? It might not be what you expected, but it'll always end up more blessing than you ever thought you would have. Folks, I'm going to offer an invitation song. Invitation, and if you do not know who Jesus Christ is, we would love for you to come and talk to us about that gift of salvation that Jesus gave us. but most people here do. And I'm just encouraging you to look at your life. Look at what God has given you. And are you appreciative? Are you using what God is giving you in a powerful way? The gift that you're giving to the people around you, is it encouraging or is it discouraging? Just take a time to look at your life. It's a powerful thing. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. We invite you to come.